hope you enjoy listening to this weekly podcast from Lifeline Church. You can find out more and discover our other podcasts by searching for Lifeline Church, visiting lifelinechurch.co.uk, or by taking a look at our YouTube channel, Lifeline Church Dagenham.
We are very fortunate to have Richard Griffin with us. Richard Griffin was my youth leader.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I just say I'm really sorry.
All of my bad jokes, particularly the naughty ones, I learnt from him and Sue. Right, there you go. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. We're going to talk about being in the desert. And this is actually the outskirts of Lima. And when I first saw this, I thought, oh, it's surrounded by slag heaps, just rubbish dumps. But actually, it's not. It's just lumps of earth where nothing grows. Absolutely nothing grows. And they're just living in the desert. Just so you know who we're talking about, Claudia and Gusto are coming this Thursday. And they will be visiting us. So make sure when you see them here for 2 weeks that you say hello. So they live... They don't live actually in that part. They live in the centre of the town, which is well built up, about 10 million people. But there is no, the rainfall in Lima, well, what it should like look like if it was here is the other picture on the other side, be green and lush. And the reason why it's different is that. Okay, so the annual rainfall in Lima is 5 millimetres. And the annual rainfall in the UK is, on average, it's at least a metre, literally 1,000 millimetres. So very dry, very arid, nothing grows in that country. But there is a sense in which we live in a desert. We live in a spiritual desert. It's a place where nothing can satisfy us. Do you know, I have this habit of looking back at the screen when I've got it in front of me. Nothing grows. Nothing can satisfy us. But the Bible actually tells us in Romans that creation is living under God's curse. It says the earth recognizes that and it's groaning because you know there's something better. But the actual, this time and this season, is it's living because of sin under the curse of God. The world around us is under the control of the evil one. John 5:19 actually says that. And if you when Jesus went into the desert with Satan, Satan says, I can give you all of this. Because he was ruling and reigning. And we live in a place at the moment where the evil one does have power and he does have control. Now just to give you perspective, of course, is that he has perspective on earth, but Jesus is Lord of all creation. So he's subject to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So just some perspective, but where we're living is how the world is at the moment. And the purpose of the evil one is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's why we live in such a disrupted world. Things don't work. We were coming back on the train from Paddington with a lovely day out in Bath, and suddenly the doors stopped working on the train. And for 20 minutes we're sitting in the station. Imagine what happened at Tottenham Court Road as the number of people appeared on the platform. And then he drives on and he says, oh, I fixed it. Then he hadn't fixed it, and he hadn't fixed it. And then we ended up having to... then they announced the train's not stopping at Goodmayes, so we have to get over Ilford. Now, what I'm trying to... It's a silly thing, but I'm saying there's an inbuilt chaos into the world. And people living in Los Angeles at the moment have got a lot of money, multimillionaires. Suddenly everything they've got is just destroyed by the disruptive of the fire. We live in a world where, as a chemistry teacher, if you've done A-level chemistry, you'll know about the second law of thermodynamics, and everything is moving from order to disorder. It's a law of the universe, and that's because we live in a desert. We live in the place where the enemy, at the moment, has influence, and his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But that verse in John 10 also says something else. It says that Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. So in this place of darkness, in this desert that we're living, Jesus has brought life and he's begun by bringing life in us. And I want to talk this morning about the contrast for us of how we can live in the desert, how God has called us to live in this spiritual desert and actually be people that are dependent on him and dependent on his life. So in Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 to 5, the Israelites were wandering in the desert and they lost sight of God in the desert. It's easy to lose sight of him in the desert. And they lost sight of God. And this is what happened. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. Then there, Miriam died and was buried. Now, there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into the wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates to drink." Now, there's a context there too, is that they were living under a promise that they've been told they were going to a land of milk and honey. And they were in a place where, and I think it's quite interesting that they don't say there's just no water. All the other things aren't there. And they are living in a time of disappointment and disillusionment. It's a time of grief. Miriam, Moses' sister, just died. They've lost hope. We might as well just die. Why didn't you let us die in the desert? Mentioned the promise is unfulfilled. They were expecting a promise, and there was no promise. And there's no fix. There's nothing good here. And their needs were not seemingly being met. There was no water. How depressing is this word? However, they were grumbling and complaining. That was their response. But God was in the desert. And God met Moses in the desert. So going back, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to them in flames of fire from within a bush. You know, God met with Moses in the desert. The reality is God met with each of us in the desert as well. I was listening to Agnes testimony last week. Hi, Agnes. And, you know, what did she, what I remember what she said, my father died, my brother died. I just needed something more of God. She was in the desert. And then she says, I met with God and God has changed my life. And God, this is not a depressing word, as you'll see, because God is in the desert. We live in the desert, but God is in the desert. And as we depend on him, we're able to live in the desert too. He wants us to be totally dependent on him. The desert is a place where we cannot survive without God. When we are in the desert, we either turn to him or we die. I had a situation several years ago when I felt I was in the desert. You'll see how long it is ago when I tell you what I was doing at the time. But I was when I was working, and when I first moved to Valentine's, I was very successful. I thought I was wonderful. My results had gone up significantly in the criteria that they use. And then suddenly after that, there were little voices that start to talk against me, and there were people talking against me, and it got towards the head, and the head decided, he was an ambitious head, he's now a sir, he's now a knight, and he decided it was time for me to move on, and he didn't say that, but it was fairly obvious that was what he was thinking, and part of that process is they need to show you've got support, and I didn't know what to do, to be honest. I'd been successful in what I'd done. Suddenly it was what I was doing didn't seem to be working, and I didn't know how to change, and I felt very much in the desert. And so that he could tick this box, you know, Griffin's got some support, he sent me on a train to Leicester, to a course in Leicester, so he could really show that he'd really done a lot for me and spent a lot of money on me. And I was on this train, and I was desperate for God at that point. I could have either really gone down the pan, And I had, it was in the days of little audio cassettes, that's how old it is, so I had my portable cassette player. And I listened to a tape. It might have been You Are Good, I don't know. But on the train going up, I was just desperate. I needed something of God, and I listened to this preach, this word of his. And God so met with me on that train just through that word. And he just showed me that, okay, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I just need to do things differently. He became my source of life. And I arrived on that course in Leicester, and I was a different person. My whole perspective had changed, and I went through the course. The course was a waste of time, really, because I knew everything they were teaching us anyway, and because I've been doing it for a few years. But I came back, and several years later, the head was saying that the department was the strongest department in the school. Now, this is meeting with God in the desert. I was in the desert. And that's how God wants it to be for us. He wants us to grow, and he wants us to thrive in the desert. That's how we meet with God, when we meet with God in the desert. Now, okay, that's fine for me. With the Israelites, what happened? Well, there was a rock in the desert. There's a rock. There was a rock in the desert. And Moses went to God and said, what shall I do? And this is what God said. So he's gone the wrong way. This is what God said. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. So what was a barren rock became a gushing source of water. And it was right before their eyes. And God, this morning, I believe, wants us to see the rock that is right before their eyes. And I want to ask you the question, first of all, is why is it so often when we live in this desert, and we get distracted, we get caught up with our lives. Why is it that we don't see the God that's right before our eyes? Yes. Yeah, so we actually get caught up in this loss of hope and focus on the darkness. We see that what's happening and not the reality of God's hand in control. There's some interesting Bible verses about that, actually. I was even reading this week. In Jeremiah, where you can just read how God is totally in control of the nations. And he says, he actually told these, like, if you don't submit to this king, then you're going to be in trouble with me. But if you submit, you'll be fine. It's interesting how it just demonstrates his power and control over all the world. Yep. Any others? God is too small. We have limited expectation. Yes. Yeah. Past disappointment. God was speaking to me about dealing with my disappointments quite strongly when Hilton was here. I was talking to him about it. That was the last time he was here. And then I found I was talking to him about it again when he was here again, this time a year later. And he says, you need to deal with this, Griffin. And you need to let it go. And yeah, past disappointments can actually get in the way. We expect him to work in a particular way, so do it according to our plan. We get distracted. We get consumed with other things. Life can just wear us down. And the things which are more, you know, become, we get consumed with resolving issues. And sometimes we try and find our own way and resolve it ourselves. And I think the biggest problem with those guys in the desert, one of the biggest problems, is they were trying to sort out their own problem. They couldn't survive in the desert. And they were looking for their source of water. And there wasn't any. And they missed the obvious, which was to come to God and trust in what he said in the past and access his word. So where can we find him? Well, I'm going to give you some clues. Yes. So that's actually taking a step further. First of all, it's being with other people. And then it's confessing your need to them. I think that's, that. You know, we're here already. We're together. So we've taken the first step. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And there is power in that. I was sometimes I find I'll be in conversation just by being with someone who's put myself in fellowship. Fellowship is a bit scripture, a bit religious, but just spending time with brothers and sisters in Christ and spend time with my friends who are following Jesus. God will just speak to you in the conversation. Sometimes you're carrying something and you don't know what the solution is. And just something they say or something in that conversation, you come away and think, yeah, that actually happened to me this week. I was with Chris Page, and there's something in the conversation. He doesn't even know, but there was just something that he said in the conversation. I thought, yeah, that's God's word for me at that point in time. So being and meeting together is where we meet God. Where does God write his law? In the Bible, yeah. So it's actually being acquainted with his words. And actually dwelling on it, spending time in it. We're actually doing that here this morning because we're together looking around what the Word of God is saying. So we're doing it now. But obviously it's something we can do on our own as well. But it's actually pushing in with reading his words. I was talking to Sally last week and she's saying, yeah, I think we need to be soaking ourselves in the Word of God. You know, just immersing ourselves in what he's saying. And that can be accessed. If you don't read, listen to it. You know, there are lots of audio Bibles out there, but there's lots of ways. And the last one, we're worshipping him and praising him together. And that's what also we're doing this morning. We're praising and worshipping him together. So we can find him when we're together because we are pursuing him. Right, let's move on. So meet and share in life together. Engage regularly with his words and express thankfulness and praise to him. If we're in that place, that's where we're going to find him. Now, the water was a place of refreshment. And Lydia, when she was talking last week, was saying, you know, we come together and we receive from God on a Sunday. But actually, there's something more that we need to be doing in pursuing him in a relationship during the week. It isn't just Sunday. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Moses hit the rock and the water came out. And I think if you come here and we're here together, we will meet with God. You know, if I'm dry, I will get watered. If I'm dry, the Holy Spirit will minister to me because I put myself in that place of wanting to be gathering with his people. I'm focusing on his word and I'm giving him thanks and I'm praising him. And there will be a flow and there's a gush of water and I can be refreshed in that. And I can fill my water bottle off and I can go off during the week and I can try and survive in the desert with my bottle of water and fill it up again when I come next Sunday. But actually, God's got even more than that. It's not actually a life-saving, just a life-saving situation. God has saved our lives, but there's more to it. It's actually because the Bible also tells us in other places that there's honey in the rock. It's more than just a rescue. God has rescued us, but he doesn't just want to rescue us. He wants us to thrive in the desert. He wants us to, when everybody else is withering and not surviving, he wants us to be growing and developing and becoming stronger in the desert. And I love these verses. This is a verse from Deuteronomy. It says, he, that's God, found Jacob. You can put your name in here, in a desert land. And in the wasteland, a howling wilderness, he encircled him, he instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. The apple of his eye is like the pupil. You try and touch someone's pupil, they will give you a jolly good whack. Because it's a very precious and sensitive part. It's a part that's cherished. He made him ride in the heights of the earth that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock. Psalm 81:16 says, but you would be fed with the finest of wheat and honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. I'll just draw your attention to the word, he made him draw honey from the rock. In some versions, that's suck. And it's kind of limits the idea of a baby suckling from its mother's breast. So it's not a passive action. You know, we can stand in front of the rock and the water gushes out. But actually, there's something more that God has for us in wanting us to thrive and to grow. And to thrive and to grow, we need to be drawing from that rock for our lives. We need to be actively pursuing him and looking to, in our weekly lives, daily lives, to pursue who he is. Often God will take us into desert places. He will cause us to live in a place which is hard, just so we will become dependent on him. So we will begin to draw from him. Otherwise, we can try and satisfy with the world around us. I remember the two significant occasions in my life, our lives. One was when we were going to go to the States on a team, Sue and I, together. I think it was one of the first teams we were going to do. And her back was bad, and which meant Sue wasn't going to be able to go. And we were newly married, and we thought, well, what do we do? You know, do I leave my wife at home in pain, flat on her back, able to do anything, or do I go on this team? And we felt in the end that we should offer the place to someone else, not to another woman, obviously, but to somebody else. And I went. And it was probably one of the hardest weeks of my life, to be honest. She was very in pain in bed, and I was phoning her every day. It cost me £60 that week in phone calls because the mobile phones were not as active as they were, and WhatsApp certainly didn't exist. But it was a time when God put us through, when we grow. And I think since back time, to that time with her back, was a real time of building our relationship together in him, our together. And I think God was just anointing that. Another bit of vulnerability here, but another time, because we haven't got children. And we had to come to a decision that was not what God had for us. And Sue, I don't remember this, but Sue told me that, you know, I used to get up early every morning, and I was 6:30, I was praying and worshipping God, because I was in the desert, and I had two choices. You know, I could either got angry and complain and become miserable, but God did put something in my heart. I don't mean this is not a works thing, but God, it was there to access. It was there to access, and God gave me the choice, and I was able to access in him. And again, it was very significant in what God's done for us. And we get people coming to pray for us, not now, but used to come and pray for us to have children. And we knew this was not what God had given to us. We were in the desert in that, but he was the source of life for us at that particular point, and continues to be our source of life in that particular way. So what I'm saying is that, do you feel lost in the desert? And that could be the desert of the world. It could be the desert of some circumstances or that God's putting you through, particularly at the moment. His word says, he's here before our eyes. God is here before our eyes. We're gathered, we're focused on his words, and we've been giving thanks, and we can choose to do that and praise his name. But as well as something that happens today, it's something that you can do during the week in pursuing him for yourself and asking others to do that with you. Just one step back on that. In terms of gathering, I kind of feel that this is, you know, God's talking to us about enhancing our level of shared life. And I think when we increase the shared life we have together, when we spend time with one another, that's actually something that God will use to bring us closer to him. It's actually part of finding God. It's not just being good friends or expressing relationship because it's a good thing to do. It's part of what God is giving us for us to be able to grow up in him in this desert place. We talk about being focused on his words and praising his name and giving thanks. So these are my responses. You might have some of your own. Are you lost in the desert and you need God to reveal himself to you at this point? You may have never, ever met with God, but he's here now. Where do we need to stop complaining and ask God for help instead of keeping our heads down and moaning about things? The rock is right before our eyes. And what is the honey God wants to draw from, wants you to draw from him? What's he got next for you to grow up and to become more intimate in your relationship with him? And what changes do you need to make to actually draw that honey?
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Lifeline Church. We hope this message has been an encouragement to you. We are a relational church who live to demonstrate God's love to one another and our surrounding community in real and practical ways. We believe that this love can restore our families, our friendships, our communities, and our nation. We'd love to connect further with you, so please visit our website, lifelinechurch.co.uk, or interact with us on Facebook at lifeline.church.uk.